or it's always been the Browns. At least that's where I first met him. And you could catch Monsters, you catch Guardians, baseball, high school, man. He is truly a man for all seasons. He is Jeff Shadell, and he is from the News Herald. And right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Jeff.
Good, Andy. How are you? Hey, Dan.
Good. I just wanted to give you a big intro there. Do you have a high school game tonight? You covering a high school game?
No, I'm doing the Cavs.
Tonight. Oh, that's right, Cavs.
The Monsters tomorrow night and Browns Sunday, so it'll be a fun weekend.
Yeah, you got a lot going on, my friend.
Me too, man. This is the busy time.
Yeah, there really is no non-busy time, but this is the busiest, so that's fine with me.
It beats the alternative, doesn't it? It totally does. All right, so Jeff, let's dive into the Browns here. How much of a mess do you think the locker room is right now? You've covered this team for a long time. I mean, it reeks of 99 with the inability on offense, and then it just feels like drama just keeps building each and every week.
It does, Andy. And, you know, if you really look back, they are 1-11 over their last 12 games, if you include this preseason, because they lost to the Bengals, and, of course, they got crunched in the playoff game. So this team does not have a rut right now.
What do you make of Kevin Stefanski giving up the play calling? I mean, it just seems like bizarre timing, Jeff.
It does seem like bizarre timing. And you know what? I was thinking about this when I was preparing to talk with you guys. When you look back at this season, questioning Kevin Stefanski's play calling, other than that jet sweep by Cedric Tillman, what call do you think? Well, that was really a dumb call. Can you think of one?
Not really. And to be honest with you, was that even Kevin's call at the last second? Didn't they want they wanted Jameis to run a different play, or didn't run a different play when he saw the defense that was stepping up against him, right?
Right. Yeah. So, right, and that's a good point. So I don't think the play calling has been bad. They're not executing on offense. Obviously, they don't have any explosive plays. Is that Stefanski's fault? I don't think so. It will be interesting to see what Jameis Winston does. He does have a stronger arm than Deshaun Watson, so we might see something different. But it would be because of that, I think, more than play calling this weekend.
I thought it was interesting, and when Jameis was talking earlier this week about just like having more street cred in the locker room when you're actually playing. Like, I mean, we've seen him; he's been a rah-rah guy since the moment he walked in the door, right? But if you're not playing, that act gets tired, I think, for other players, guys that are, you know, like, especially if you're not walking around with a bunch of Super Bowl rings around your fingers.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And when he's out there at practice, during the warm-up, individual drills, that's all we're allowed to see before we're out kicked off before team drills. And they'll throw in one direction for maybe 10 passes, and then they go to downfield and throw in the opposite direction. And Jameis Winston is out there. He sprints to the other end of the field. Does that make him a leader? Maybe. But let's see what happens when the games count and he has to do it. He has done it in the past. So I think they needed a change. People have been asking for Jameis Winston since the Dallas game, right? And so, of course, now they have to do it.
Jeff Shadell joining us. The News Herald is where you can read him. And, of course, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jeff, do you think we're going to see some semblance of a running game come back as well with Nick Chubb being back there? I mean, we saw kind of a little bit of it, but, boy, it definitely wasn't at the level we thought we'd see.
Well, no, he's still working his way back. The offensive line is not as good as it was, obviously. But this is a bad week to expect that to happen because the Ravens have the number one rush defense in the league. They average allowing 68 yards a game. So I don't think we're going to see the old Nick Chubb on Sunday.
It's still like that's like the only good news we've had, Jeff, about this right now, because it's like, man, I think we're just and we're at this weird junction where it's players against fans. And like I said earlier in the show, it's like, it's not, obviously, it's not all the fans. It's a couple of knuckleheads, very loud knuckleheads last week that the players heard on the field. And it's not all the players either that are really, really mad at the fans. And so, I you know, get in the end zone a couple times and win a game, and all this noise goes away.
That's for sure. And you know what, Andy? I think last week when Deshaun Watson was down, it was the fans. They were, yes, they were booing Watson, cheering his injury. But what they were really doing, I think they were channeling that frustration to Jimmy Haslam for signing Deshaun Watson in the first place.
Interesting.
You know, and listen, you think back that he's not the first injured quarterback that they booed. You remember in 2008 when Derek Anderson was injured. This is 1 year after he took the Browns to a 10-6 record, and he got hurt in the Colts game, and fans cheered that. I think that was meaner and louder than what happened with Watson last week.
Trade deadline's about 2 weeks away, Jeff. What do you see the Browns doing there? Is it a full-blown fire sale, or do you think they're going to stand pack, or heck, who knows?
Yeah, who knows is a good. I don't think there's going to be a fire sale. I heard you talking about trading Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that, but what I don't know what they're going to get for him. I mean, you never get what you think your player is worth, right?
Correct.
It doesn't happen. The pick you get is much lower than you would think the player is worth. Now, they did a great job getting a third rounder, I think, for Amari Cooper when all they traded to get him was a fifth rounder. So that was a big plus. But and who really is tradable on this team other than Myles Garrett? You're not going to trade Nick Chubb. And Jameis Winston, I don't think he's going to get you more than a third or fourth rounder, if that.
When you look at this offensive line, and in particular, who do you think is starting at left tackle on Sunday? But the health of this offensive line, and we were talking about the conundrum of, you know, you've got a quarterback that's in a kind of freewheeling out there with Deshaun Watson, so that the offensive line maybe not being in lockstep with him because they just don't know where he's going with it. But you would think that this offensive line, especially if it's a little bit healthier this week, even without Jed Wills, would be better in the running game. But they just this team offensive line has not been able to get in sync at all. And I know injuries are a big part of that.
Yeah, injuries are a big part, Andy. But I think the coaching philosophy from Bill Callahan to Dickerson really is a big part of the problem that the Browns are having. Now, injuries certainly weigh into that. And I think if Wills doesn't play, I think Jack Conklin will probably be at left tackle and Duane Jones over there on the right side. But they can't get the run game going. And here's an interesting stat for this game. Do you realize that the Browns have allowed fewer points than the Ravens? The Ravens have won 5 in a row, yet the Browns have allowed fewer points than the Ravens have.
It makes you think that if Jameis Winston can get this team to 24 points, that they've got a chance to win all these games.
Yeah, that's
and go. I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, they've really only been blown out in two of these games. Otherwise, and I don't think the final score, you know, indicated the way the game was played out last Sunday. But still, if you go back a year from now and you look at it, like, oh, they only lost by a touchdown. Probably had a chance there at the end, right?
Right, and even in that game last week, who would think that the Browns are going to give up a 100-yard kick return for a touchdown on the opening kickoff?
Great point.
And Dustin Hopkins, now he was so good last year. He made 30 of 33 field goals. He was 8 of 8 beyond 50. And this year he's looking more like he had in his past. And I heard you talking about this earlier in the week, Andy. If he makes a field goal, he makes that extra point, it's a whole different game. And how is that on Kevin Stefanski's play calling, just to circle back to that? It isn't.
Jeff, put yourself in Kevin's shoes right now. What's he thinking? Because there's got to be a twist of fate one way or another, because it's, you know, when the chips are down, they're going to point at the quarterback, they're going to point at the head coach, and I think every head coach knows that they're going to have to weather some kind of storm. He's in a storm right now. What's it going to take for him to get out of that storm and still be the head coach next year?
I think next year is the answer to that question. I think if any, if he, I'm not saying anybody's even thinking about firing him in that front office, but if they fire him, that would be silly, in my opinion, because he, we've seen, he knows how to coach. Even in the, last year, you go through four quarterbacks. I don't count Jeff Driscoll at the end, and you win 11 games, which also makes you wonder why Alex Van Pelt was fired. But I think he just has to get through this year, and next season we'll see the Kevin Stefanski that we know. I think they could end up winning five or six games this year. I don't see how they could do much more than that when you look at the teams they have coming up. They still have to play the Ravens twice, the Steelers twice, the Bengals down in Cincinnati, the Chiefs later in the year. But for once, we need to see Jimmy Haslam being patient and get through this season and start over next year.
Jeff, what do you we've kind of kicked around on it, and the offense has been the number one thing that everybody's looked at and complained about. Do you think this defense has taken a half step back, or is it just the offense has been so bad?
Well, I think the defense has given up more explosive plays than we've seen in the past. Martin Emerson is not playing as well as he did last year, and that's part of the problem. The other than Myles Garrett, they're not really getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and they're giving up more. This is the part to me that's baffling, is that they're giving up more explosive run plays, and the defense is relatively healthy. They did have some injuries at safety earlier in the year, but that part is strange to me, that they're not playing better against the run than they have.
Hey, I want to switch gears before we let you go, just because we've got a minute or two. You got the Cavs game tonight. Your thoughts on that? And J.B. Bickerstaff comes back. And, boy, the team played exactly the way we wanted them to play in Toronto. And if they can keep that up all season, that'd be amazing. Toronto is not one of the tougher teams in the East. But still, I think that was the formula. And, you know, really, you just changed coaches.
You know what, Andy? That's exactly right. And Kenny Atkinson just has such a positive energy about him. I'm not saying that J.B. Bickerstaff was not positive, but Kenny Atkinson just has this, the energy comes right off him. And he said at the very beginning, in fact, at the his introductory press conference, how he wanted to get more from Evan Mobley on the offensive end. And wow, we just saw that Wednesday night. And so I think we're going to see that more of that this season. And again, with this team, a lot of it depends on health. Because when you think about the core four last year, played only 28 games together during the regular season and four in the playoffs. So if those guys can stay healthy, I think the Cavaliers are really going to be a threat in the East. Can they beat the Celtics? Who knows? But I think it's going to be a very fun season to follow the Cavaliers.
All right, you want me to get one monstrous question in on there?
Yep, go ahead.
Curtis Hall from Sugar Falls. That's kind of exciting that he's on the roster this year and you got a local guy on the team. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, man. Fans should go watch the Monsters. It's inexpensive entertainment. The hockey is good, and fans have such a good experience. It's such a family-friendly experience for young kids, and I really enjoy going to those games.
And there you have it. He's a man for all season. He's Jeff Shadell. Make sure you're reading all of his stuff in the News Herald like I do each and every day. Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Take care.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
We'll talk to you soon. Jeff Shadell, News Herald, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.